Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Elena Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about how do we understand the gambling addiction. And my guest this evening is Dr. Paula Sanchez, PhD, who holds a master's degree in counseling from Lehigh University and a PhD in counselor education and supervision from Walden University, Minnesota. She became interested in gambling and the problems of gambling stemming from the behavior when she began to teach addiction counselors on the development of gambling-associated disorders and its impact on the individual, the family, and society as a whole. It is a pleasure to welcome to WDIY Dr. Paula Sanchez to help us take charge of our lives. Welcome, Dr. Paula Sanchez.
Thank you, Eleanor, for having me here tonight.
Well, how did you become interested in gambling as an addiction? Most people look upon gambling as fun. Go to the casinos and have a little fun, have a poker game. How do we begin to discern when gambling is no longer just a fun thing to do and an addiction?
Well, as any other behavior that we increase in frequency and we increase in intensity that becomes a problem in our daily life, that's when we identify that there is a problem. Gambling within itself is an entertainment. It's something that the society does just to have fun, to get out, to be with friends, to hear the bells and the bustles and the lights. Just is a fun activity and entertainment. But the more the individual engage in the behavior, the more habituated they become. And when that habituation becomes a problem in their day-to-day life, that's when we say, there is a problem there.
Yeah. How did you become interested in gambling, per se, as a problem behavior, an addicted behavior?
Well, I became very, very involved in the teaching and treating the behavior in the earliest 2000. That's when I was invited to educate counselors in the field of drug and alcohol as a preparation for the changes that were coming into moving gambling, a pathological gambling, under the addiction treatment. And the Department of Drug and Alcohol in Pennsylvania decided to start training individuals, counselors, who were practicing in how to treat the disorder. Prior to that, it was treated by mental health clinicians. But now we have been moved to the addiction field. So all these counselors needed to be trained. That's when I started to develop passion. In addition to that, I do have family members who have suffered from problems with gambling behaviors.
And when you say you have family members, who would that be, Dr. Paula Sanchez?
And that would be my paternal grandmother and my paternal aunt. Oh. They both suffer from the disorder.
Well, how did you know? And what did you see that growing up? Or what made you understand that they had a gambling disorder? Or another way to say it, that they were addicted to gambling?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did not see it as a problem as I was growing up. Not until I became a professional that I started seeing the behaviors and the problems that they were encountering with financial issues, such as not paying the rent, such as taking the money and stashing the money away from gambling. That's when I started to notice that they did have a problem.
And did you notice any particular behaviors in your grandmother as you look back that were key or hints that she was addicted to gambling?
Well, actually, this is an anecdote, and today I smile when I talk about it, but in reality, it was sad. She was an educator. She was a public educator for high school students for many, many 30 years of her life. And she used to, when I was small, I noticed that she used to do classes, very busy in the class, but she was very active betting to horse races. So instead of her going to the horse event, she sent her students, she gave them a pass and told them to go to a racetrack and bet on the horses for her. And that was continuously.
So she used students in her classes.
Yes,
and she gave them a pass to excuse them from class.
Yes,
and sent them to the racetrack.
Indeed she did.
So so grandmother didn't use a bookie.
And no, she did not.
She used students to convey her. And how did she choose the horses? Did she use the students as well?
No, as a matter of fact, she engaged in research. She was studying the horses, how fat or skinny were the legs, how big or small was the jockey. The lighter the jockey, the better the chances for the horse. That was her rationale to gamble, and she used to engage in the topic with everybody, just telling, no, this type of horse is not going to win. This is the one. And then she created all these characteristics of the potential horse that was going to win the race.
So I have a big question. Was she right?
Well,
I mean, in other words, she said she had all of this statistical analysis and all of this way of prediction. Was she right in her predictions?
Well, let me tell you that her financial situation depleted at one time, indicating that no, she was not right because she was losing a lot of money on the race bets.
So it just shows you that no matter how much statistical analysis you do, whether you're analyzing the weight, the structure of the horse, it's still, quote unquote, a gamble.
A gamble. It is a gamble.
Right. but she did not lose her resources. In other words, she did not. Some gamblers gamble to the point of losing their entire resources because they're always betting on the sure thing, which is the next one, and the possibility of the next one. Was grandmother in that bracket?
No, she was not. But her daughter, my aunt, was there. She lost millions of dollars.
Mm.
And she died broke.
So this can happen.
This can happen to the point that her children, my cousins, had to pull out funds from their private funds to pay for the funeral and expenses because she left nothing but debt.
So here is your aunt. Was she was really addicted.
Yes, she was.
Where your grandmother gambled, but she still had some ability to analyze.
To analyze and to save money, because when my grandmother died, she left a very hefty amount of money for her daughter, my aunt.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is your host, Elena Barbaro, and this evening we're talking with Dr. Paula Sanchez, who holds a master's degree in counseling from Lehigh University, a PhD in counselor education and supervision from Walden University in Minnesota, and we're talking about gambling as an addiction. So we were talking about your grandmother and your aunt. Your aunt who died without a penny, and your grandmother who was able to save and to she was a gambler, but she was not overwhelmed. She never allowed her resources to be drained. But it sounds like your aunt was truly addicted.
Yes, she did.
Yes. Tell us about some of the personality aspects of a gambler such as your aunt.
Well, my aunt not only have the gambling problems or the gambling disorder, she also had other addictions. She was used to drink alcohol in excess at young age.
Right.
She had some substance use problems as well. She was a smoker. So she have different behaviors that were affecting her day-to-day functioning. And that's what we consider to be addictions. Because the higher the level of tolerance that is developed, the more profound is the problem.
So your aunt really had, she had an addictive personality in a sense.
In a sense, yes.
Yes, because she had many addictions, one of which, a prime one, was the gambling. And when we return, we're going to talk more about personality aspects of the person addicted with gambling when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
WDIY offers classical music 6 days a week, including Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon, Sunday morning, 6 to 8 a.m., and Sunday evening, 7 to 9 p.m. WDIY Classics covers all eras from medieval and baroque, romantic to modern. Listen for birthday tributes to composers, interviews with local artists and conductors, and the classical events calendar each week. For more information, visit our website, wdiy.org.
For program support on WDIY, we thank ASAP Mailing of the Lehigh Valley, a locally owned and operated mailing and fulfillment company offering marketing and production solutions for your custom mail piece, taking your marketing project from idea to delivery, creating a program that meets your mailing, marketing, and fulfillment requirements. For more information, 484-285-0204 or asapmailing.com.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. This evening we're talking about gambling addiction. And my guest this evening is Dr. Paula Sanchez, who holds a master's degree in counseling from Lehigh University and is a counselor for people with addictions and specializes in that. She can be reached at 610-780-9152. For further information on some of her work. And we were talking about the addicted personality. Most people don't understand that a person is addicted. They feel you may be married to a person who enjoys poker, playing maybe a couple of times a week, or they like to go to the casino and gamble. What are some of the personality traits that we can identify or begin to question whether our mate or friend or relative is simply socially active in enjoying poker once or twice a week, or they're addictive? Are there anything personality traits that we can associate?
Well, at this moment, there are two questions here. Let me ask the first one. How can we identify when the problem is present? That will be first. So there are many, many keys that we have to look for if the saving accounts are being depleted, if the bills in the home are not being paid, if there is an increase of debt collectors calling the home, if the individual is taking off from work, if the individual is leaving to do an errand and comes back several hours later, if the individual is stashing money in the side for gambling. So all those are cues that we need to be looking for to identify if there is a problem with gambling within their family member.
And let's say they find some clues. Are there, if you're finding, let's say they find money that's been put away, or they find that bills have not been paid, when do they begin to understand that this is a possibility of a person not only with a need for, who enjoys the opportunity to gamble or to play poker or to play the horses, and how do we determine when there's something we need to do to take action? And is there anything we can do as a partner to take action? Is that helpful?
Yes, indeed. The first thing is to sit with the individual and express the concern and show all the findings. I'm finding that the checking account is depleted. You are not going to work. You are expending too much time in this place invested in gambling. And just present the concern. There is help.
There is help.
The family member can call 1-800-GAMBLER and they can seek more information in how to help the loved one. That number can be put in strategic places where the individuals who have the problem can be encouraged to call that number and seek for help.
Now you're saying the individual who has the problem.
Or the family.
Or the family member.
They both can call. And or a friend. Anybody who is concerned about an individual regarding the gambling behavior can seek more information and help through the 1-800-GAMBLER here in Pennsylvania.
And what kind of help would they receive, Dr. Sanchez?
They can receive referrals. There's a lot of providers that have been certified to treat the gambling disorders.
Now, in addiction, we have Alcoholics Anonymous. We have Overeaters Anonymous. Is there such a thing as Gamblers Anonymous?
Yes, there is. And also, not only for the gambler, but the meetings that had done for the families.
So they help the family as well.
They help the family as well. There are two different groups. One GA for the gambler.
Yes.
And the Anamon is for the family.
Now, do they call the same number for help for the family?
They can get all that information to the 1-800-GAMBLER, as well as they can go into the
website, which is www.pacouncil.com.
Yes.
So if you have this kind of problem, you're not alone. And how long has this been in operation? Because this is really relatively new. Because I remember growing up with my dad, who was a compulsive gambler, and he could not resist a horse. He could not resist gambling in any way. And I remember as a very young child walking with my mother down the street just in time for my dad to be paid. At that time, they paid in cash. And she wanted to be there as his boss handed him the money and she could intercept it. And if she was too late, she knew the money would never come home. So this is relatively new, is that right? How long has this Pennsylvania Council, www.pacouncil.com, how long has that kind of help been available? And is Pennsylvania the only state that offers it?
I don't believe that it's the only state, but I am more familiar with the Pennsylvania
resources
than with other states. I had become involved since the earlier 2000. As a mental health professional prior to this, I was not aware of these resources.
So that now we do have a resource.
Now we have many resources. The state of Pennsylvania is doing excellent work in training clinicians, presenting conferences for the public as an awareness, as preventive measures. So they are doing an excellent work, especially the council, the Pennsylvania Council for Compulsive Gambling. They are doing an excellent job presenting opportunities to educate the public.
So, you know, this is very important, and it's relatively new. Isn't that true, Dr. Paula Sanchez?
It's not that it's new. It's that we have more exposure. We are doing more work to educate the public as well as all the professionals.
Because it's relatively new, and I would say in the last 15 years,
yes,
10 or 15 years, because before that, sometimes it was a secret that people did not want to disclose. Is that correct?
Eleanor, continues to be a hidden addiction.
Yes.
Gambling disorders is a very stigmatizing label to carry.
More stigmatized, let's say, than drug addiction?
Perhaps, because when a person is addicted to a substance, you can observe in the individual's behavior if they are drunk under the influence of alcohol or if they are under the influence of any other substance. You can see it physically, not with gambling.
One other thing I want to address, we're running out of time, and that is if you are living in a family with an addicted member, how does that addiction impact other members of the family?
Impacts everybody in the family. They can lose their home and become homeless. They will not have money for the daily, day-to-day needs. Many individuals, their lights is cut off. All the utilities are cut off due to the behavior, due to the gambling disorder on the individual.
And how does it impact the behavior of other individuals in the family?
Can cause anxiety, can cause depression, it can cause anger, domestic violence, and other types of addictions. And the young can imitate the person who is gambling.
So that if you have a children growing up in a family with an addicted member who is a gambler, they can develop their other addictive behaviors, such as
betting on sports. If they are high school students, they can start developing other types of behaviors. Let's say that they develop depression and anxiety. They might self-medicate with other street drugs. So there is a lot of consequences, like a ripple effect, where the addiction is affecting many areas of their life and the life of their families.
So it's something that we cannot hide from and that we need to take action for. And if you need help, pacouncil.com, and they will give you all of the information. And it's important that we do take action. We cannot ignore it and pretend that it's okay, if that's what you're saying.
That is correct. And I appreciate your time and your interest in this topic and the valuable impact that this program is bringing to the community. And thank you for having me here.
and it's a pleasure. And if you want more information, there's more trainings that are going to be offered with Dr. Paula Sanchez, and others will follow. And you can get more information by looking on your computer, pacouncil.com. And I want to thank you, Dr. Paula Sanchez, for helping us to take charge of our lives by understanding how gambling and the problems stemming from the behavior that gambling imposes on the family impact the individual, the family, and the society as a whole. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.